The date is the 11th of July 2015. My name is Clara Cook. I'm here in the Shaw Library of LSE in the old building interviewing John Thornton for the LSE Oral History Project for the 120th anniversary. And John is an alumni. So John, can you state your full name for me and your date of birth?
Yes, well, my full name is John Stuart Thornton, Jr., and my birth date is April 4th, 1961.
John, when did you first come to LSE?
I first came in 1984. It would have been about August. And I did 2 years and 2 degrees. I left in 86.
And what were your first impressions of LSE and its campus?
Well, I'd be used to American campuses. So when I saw the state of the buildings, it was quite a shock. There was no large green area, no commons, no organized master plan clearly behind the whole situation. But I think in the end I appreciated the fact that the concentration was on the learning and the students and the professors and not the physical structure of the operation. I came here first to study what we call a graduate diploma in economics, and the specialization was international economics. And my tutor at the time was Christine Whitehead. She was just marvelous, very enthusiastic, and very helpful in guiding me through my first year. I'd actually applied for the 2-year master's program. Now, I haven't the slightest idea what the facts are behind the situation, but I can make some up. And what I'll make up is I think perhaps the attitude at the time was, well, you're coming from an American college, so we couldn't really let you into the master's program, but we have this other program we'll let you into. And just in case hell does freeze over and you score high enough in your exams in your first degree, we might let you into the second year of the master's program. So apparently hell did freeze over, and I was allowed into the second year of the master's program, and I thrived in both and enjoyed both immensely.
How did you first hear about LSE?
I don't know if I have an answer to that, where I first heard about the LSE. It would have been really through probably common knowledge. I'd applied after university in the States to two schools. One was London School of Economics and Political Science, and the other was University of Sussex in Brighton. And I think part of it was a bit out of ennui, that if I were going to do school yet again after university, it better be someplace interesting. And I was interested in development economics at the time, and as well as not just economic physical development of a country, but financial development as well. And so I applied to two places. University of Sussex, Brighton, had the best development program in the world at the time for emerging economies. And my other thought was, well, I would also really like to learn finance in London. And I got accepted to both and decided on London.
What were the other students at LSE like?
Oh, the other students at LSE were fascinating. And excuse me, if a young person were to ask me how to pick a university, of course, you start with the professors and reputation, that sort of thing. But for me, it was the excitement and enthusiasm and intelligence of my peers that really forced me to bring my game up. First of all, there were a number of students from the Commonwealth countries, and that was fascinating. Then we had a number of students from Europe and Asia and other non-Commonwealth countries, and then the former colonies, let's say, like as I came from. So the students were fascinating, diverse, all intelligent, fun to be with. They all had also their different personalities. The Greeks were the most fun in my class. The Italians were definitely the best dressed. It was just a great group of people to be with. And then it was also fun to mingle, which we did occasionally with the undergrads, who were mostly UK. And they were fun to be with as well. So fun, interesting, diverse, rich, culture going on, and a type of thing I would never have been exposed to in the States. For instance, I recall the communists marching one day down on Houghton Street. And you certainly would never have seen that in the United States in a university of that type of diversity going on.
Did you get involved in any student politics or student clubs?
Well, I was a member of the writing club. I'm a Westerner. I missed horses terribly. And so I was able to do a few rides with the writing club. That would only be the only club. I attended the student union meetings, which were largely undergraduate, as I recall. And from an American standpoint, it looked very much like Parliament in terms of the volume and the amount of debate that went on. And whenever, well, at the time, labor students mostly controlled the union, and the president was Labor Party. Whenever a Tory Party student stood up, the paper balls and airplanes would go flying down to the stage. You kind of felt sorry for the guy. So there was a heated debate. I never saw any blood or bruises. And at the end of it, I think it was my second year, the student union president was Irish. So after all the paper balls, all the yelling, all the rancor, the president got up, and he was a lovely fellow. He would say, "Let us repair to the tree tons." And that's where we all went.
So the tree tons was one of the places that you used to go and drink with the other students?
Yes, the tree tons. Yeah, that was the center of pub attention. The other two pubs still in the area existed at the time as well.
What was the refractory? Is it called the refractory? The cafe? What was like the student refractory like? The food and stuff.
Abysmal. Let's not talk about English food. You'll just disappoint the interview. Move on, darling.
Did you live in Halls of Residence?
No, I did not have that chance. I happen to have participated with the chaplaincy here on campus, and I don't know where it's located now. It had a tiny office, lovely chaplain at the time, and I'm an Episcopalian, have been for life, and so it was natural I'd be interested in the local Church of England, Anglican, and through that contact, strangely enough, I was able to find housing. My tube stop was Great Portland Street, and so I lived, not too far away. It was very convenient.
Did you have a favorite place on campus?
I would tell you exactly my favorite place on campus, which is gone now, and it's very disappointing. And she was called the Pater Nostra, and I so terribly miss the Pater Nostra. Now, the Pater Nostra is essentially an elevator system from the 60s. It was when Clare Market was built. They put it in. I'll have to describe it to you. The Pater Nostra is a series of boxes on chains, sort of like a huge bicycle chain. And the boxes would revolve going up, revolve around the top, and then come back down again. It was a revolving system of boxes. On each floor, there was an opening, so there was no door. You'd stand at the opening, and you'd wait until you saw the next box rise up, and then it took awfully good timing to jump on the box, not too late and not too early. You'd jump in, and you'd rise up to whatever floor or down to whatever floor you were searching for. That is the thing I most miss about the structure of the campus. It was funny from an American standpoint because the system, I doubt, was ever legal in the United States. But metaphorically, the Pater Nostra being slightly a risky form of transportation, it was metaphorically an interesting insight into the whole adventure at London School of Economics of taking risks. That not everything has to be safe, either in that case physically or certainly intellectually.
Did you find that the faculty challenged you in that way as well?
Yes, there was quite a lot of challenge, but the system itself, let me start with the system, was challenging from an American standpoint. So in an American institution of education, you'll have, let's say, two semesters. And the semester will start, and you'll have papers, and you'll have midterm papers, quizzes, tests, and at the end of a semester, your final exam. And as you're going through it, you've got a pretty good gauge as to which direction you're headed, either failing or doing well, whatever. It was challenging and quite a shock to be handed a sheet of paper with some names of some really good books if you want to learn this subject, and be invited to lectures and maybe some classes if those were also offered. And at the end of a year, you take tests. And you don't have to attend lectures. You do whatever you like. And if you've, as I recall at the time in the system, if you failed one test, you failed them all. So you'd be invited back in a year to retake all your exams. So the structure was the first thing that was challenging, because you really had to, you weren't fed information and you had to feed it back immediately. You were really forced to be independent. And that contributed greatly, I think, to my own personal development. Now, as for the professors, they all seemed inspiring. And in this day and age, I really don't understand how students can do online education. I'm in favor of democratization, but the inspiration of being with some of these professors was just marvelous. In my second degree, my tutor's name was Mervyn King, who was later the governor of the Bank of England, recently retired. And he really did have a passion for finance, and I've always had a passion for finance. I think both of us on a very theoretical level, because I don't balance my checkbook, but I love the econometrics behind finance. And he was really very inspiring, and we had something called capital markets groups. So, for instance, we'd have Richard Brealey from London Business School come down, and we'd have debates about certain elements of economics and its efficiency. And it was all very exhilarating and exciting and inspiring.
Did that experience at LSE help you decide what you wanted to do next?
Well, I did so much theoretical finance and econometrics. When I left, I thought, I'll probably never do this again because it's so esoteric. And as it turned out, I landed my first professional career doing exactly what I was doing here. It's a strange little niche industry in the United States, but utility rates are set in a trial-like process, and each side has attorneys, and those attorneys have witnesses. So I made my career testifying in financial economics. There's a theory called capital asset pricing model, which I learned from Mervyn and through those lectures. And the CAPM essentially became my life and my life's blood professionally for now almost 30 years.
Just looking back to what you were saying previously, did you find that there was quite a difference between America in the 80s and where you were? Where were you in America?
Well, I'm really from the West Coast, so I'm from San Francisco. I graduated from the oldest liberal arts college in the West Coast, called Willamette University. So it's the West Coast.
So did you find that there was quite a difference between Willamette and LSE in London?
Well, the system was so radically different. I think also the student body at Willamette was far more homogeneous, and I think he appreciated, as I've described, the students from all over the Commonwealth and the world here.
What do you think the future of LSE will look like?
I hope the future of LSE continues what we used to say, what the professors used to say, is returns to first principles. And the first principle is an emphasis on rational thought, a focus on facts. I hope it's pragmatic, and I hope that future shapes policymakers all over the world. So I hope it's not a return to, but a continuance of first principles.
Did you feel that, what were your highlights while you were here at LSE? What was the real highlights?
Well,
that really stick out in your memory?
Well, I think what sticks out the most is the day I went up, I think it was the second floor where results were posted, and a number of my friends were lying around. In those days, names were posted. I doubt they post names anymore. And my friend Keon, who was Korean, saying, "John, you passed." And that was probably two lucky moments in my life. The day I got into London School of Economics and the day I got out. So that's certainly the day I remember the most.
Do you remember graduating?
Well, I didn't go through a graduation ceremony. I think I was invited back a year or two later for a ceremony at Albert Hall, but we really didn't have a standard graduation ceremony like we do in the States. And that's fine.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what it was like working with the chaplaincy? What did you do?
Well, I simply attended, really. And I was close to the chaplain, very nice fellow, whose name I've completely forgotten. I do recall, for instance, he invited in a metropolitan, so a Greek Orthodox metropolitan. And I appreciated his openness to other viewpoints and his inclusiveness. And for me, from my own personal background, there's certainly, a spiritual element to life, and I think that helped drive me during my life here at LSE.
Did you find that there were lots of other religions on campus, or was it mainly, was the student body mainly Christian?
I think the student body was mainly secular. I think probably the friends I had made who were religious were either Hindu, or I had one friend, and she was a Jain, which I understand a very specific type of Hindu. They're very difficult to take to a restaurant because they're so careful about the earth that they won't eat animals or even any sort of plant that could have harmed an animal. A very gentle personality, and I came to admire her religion because of it.
What is your relationship with LSE now?
I'm a donor. I'm a donor and alumnus, and I came back in 2009 for a reunion. That was lovely. I got to meet my tutor, who was still at the bank, and got to see him at the bank, and that was the height of the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression, so that was particularly interesting. And I think I simply keep it near and dear to my heart, even on a daily basis.
Do you find that there's a big difference between the campus now and the campus then when you were here as a student?
Oh, well, the new library is spectacular. We never had that. Things always seem to be improving structurally around here, and that's helpful. But in the same vein, I've been to a number of ivory towers in the United States, and I really like the focus on the people and the inspiration and professors rather than the structure itself.
Do you feel that there's anything that I haven't asked you that you want to talk about, or was anything that you would like to tell me that I haven't touched on?
Well, I would say that maybe I'll pass out a message to university students who are looking at LSE for grad school, or what we'd call high school students looking to LSE for undergrad, and I, particularly from the States, and you should consider an education here if you've got a strain of independence in you and you want to do something new and different, a little bit outside of the box. But if you're risk averse, forget about it. Stay home.